get feels on the bitch. Now I throw shields on the dick to stop me from the HIV shit. And niggas know they soft like a Twinkie filling, playing the villain, prepare for this rap killing. Biggie Smalls is the illest. Your style is played out like Arnold when I put you talking about Willis. The thrill is gone. The black Frank White is here to excite. Throw dick to dice. Bitches are like I'm brainless. Guns are like I'm stainless steel. I want the fucking fortune like the wind. I squeeze gas till my clips is empty. Don't tempt me. You don't want the fortune.
Damn it, this ain't some shit. Come respect to my deliverance over homie. It's the miracle of death trap. Yes, I'm a jet black nature. Come in where you rest at. Surrender. Step inside the ring. You the number one contender.
This goes out to you. This goes out to you. And you. You. Biggie. You. This goes out to you. This goes out to you. This goes out to you. 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 Your reign on the top was short like leprechauns as I crush so-called Willie's thugs and rapadons. Get in that ass, kick fast like Ramadan. It's that rap phenomenon. Don Dada. Fuck Papa. You got to call me Francis M.H. White intake like toast. Toe iron. Was told you shoot out, stay low and keep firing. Keep extra clips for extra shit. Who's next to flip on that cat with that grip on rap?
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Beer and Chicken Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Mr. Span, and I'm joined by the homeboy Cliff, aka DJ Neff. Say what's up to the people, fam.
Yo, oh, oh, oh.
You didn't know I could sing, did you? You didn't know I could sing?
Is that what
did you
call?
Know I can sing?
Is that what you call that? All right. Okay. Okay, that's what's up. I mean, you know,
down in the levels. You know what I mean?
You were trying to get low on him. I see what you was trying to do. You know what I'm saying? I see what you was trying to do.
I was getting my David Ruffin on. That's all, just my little David Ruffin. You know?
Hey, you know. Speaking of, this nigga said David Ruffin. You know, David Ruffin got fired. You know what I'm saying?
You say what? I didn't hear what you said.
I said, you know, David Ruffin got fired. You know what I'm saying? David Ruffin was mad. Talking about some, you ungrateful sons of bitches.
Well,
no, speaking of that, before I got a little riff. Why you mentioned David Ruffin?
So
you know how motherfuckers be talking about, like, have you seen that Harriet movie yet?
No, but I heard it's good.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. I haven't seen it either, but I saw how a lot of people was feeling about the Harriet movie. You know, a lot of people talking about some, man, this whole, they put whole ass scenarios in this movie. That shit wasn't even true. That ain't even happened. And I'm thinking to myself, like, bro, you know, it's a dramatization of this shit, right? Like, they got, in order to, for them to make a movie, they gotta like have some creative license, right? And one of the things I thought about, I was like, man, you know what, when David Ruffin got fired from the Temptations and all the rest of them niggas are just standing in the window looking stoic, I'm like, y'all thought that's exactly how that shit happened?
No, but
you had niggas thinking like that's how that shit happened. Like, nah, niggas like, wait, that ain't how it happened? Like, absolutely not.
This is delicious.
What do you got? I see it's Blue Moon, but what you got? It look like the harvest.
The mango wheat? Oh my God, this is fantastic.
You just not getting up on that, man? I need to come home more, man. I could have been put you up on that, man.
Jesus Christ, yeah, it's delicious.
That shit's good. I'm drinking Blue Moon, too. But I'm drinking just the standard fare, man, the Belgian white.
The standard fare. Oh, no, I bought the box of, it was like a mixture.
And then I got a little Crown Peach that I'm fucking with tonight, too. So, you know.
I hope you ate. That shit tastes like throw up.
You out of your fucking mind, dude. You are out of your fucking mind, man. It's just smooth, baby.
Hey, man, can you pour me up two things of that throw up, please? Yeah, with a little bit of ice.
Not only that. So I'm drinking the shit straight right now. But when you put this shit with like some Calypso peach lemonade, oh my God, dog. That's just good, man. That's just good.
It sounds like something you order from Coney Island in Detroit.
Yeah, Coney Island good too, punk motherfucker. I had Coney Island this morning for breakfast, baby. I had me a little, what was that? I had a sausage and cheese omelet. With some cheese grits and a side of bacon. You know what I'm saying?
To all the listeners and people who are watching this live or the people who are going to download in the future, If you go to Detroit, don't go to Coney Island, yo. Don't go to Coney Island.
You got to go to the right Coney Islands, man. This nigga,
yo,
this
don't
nigga,
go to
this nigga went to some nondescript ass Coney Island talking about he ordered some goddamn shrimp fried rice from a Coney Island.
Anybody, first of all, I did not order shrimp fried rice.
That's what you said they had there. Anybody from Detroit knows you won't go no motherfucking Coney Island to get no shrimp fried fucking rice. So if he did,
tell me they don't have it on the menu, and
they
I'm good.
They don't. Nigga, I have never in my life went to Coney Island.
Shrimp fried rice, gyros, fried chicken, tacos, breakfast, lunch, dinner, corned beef, everything.
They do have corned beef. They do have the corned beef. But I ain't never been to a Coney Island a day in my life and seen shrimp fried rice on the motherfucking menu. That's why I'm just like, this nigga lying, dude.
Yo, just know whatever ethnic food you got a taste for, they got it.
Yeah, they got
it.
They got some stuff in there, man. I mean, it's no different than going to motherfucking all the Euro spots in Chicago, man. They pretty much the same shit.
I don't go there.
The only thing is, like, in Chicago, they got pizza puffs and shit. We don't have pizza puffs here.
I would never bring somebody to Chicago that's never been here and take them to one of those gyro spots either. I'm going to take them to something very authentic to the city. And if Coney Island is authentic to y'all, that's a shame.
That's because you're a bougie nigga, man. Like,
you have a shame.
Because you're a bougie nigga. I would go to, like, hey, man, if I found a good spot and the shit was good, trust and believe that I'm taking them there. This nigga talking about, I would never take them
to any other. Coney Island, if Coney Island is good food,
I told
brother,
you.
I know when you come home, so, you can't wait to get.
I swear, man, we had this argument all the time. I keep telling you, motherfuckers, man, all Coney Islands are not created equal, man. You can't go to every Coney Island, man. You got to know which ones to go to. And I tell you this right now. The Coney Islands to go to in the city, the ones that taste the best are the ones that look like they got the most health code violations. Them the ones you need to go to. They got
hey, real talk.
For real.
A restaurant I grew up on Western and Madison called Moons, they just got shut down because of health codes.
See?
They get shut down like every other year, so it's like kind of good because when they open back up, we know it's clean. You're like, oh, that shit gonna be clean, dog. I'm going tomorrow, man. When they open back up, I'm going tomorrow. They clean, dog. Man,
you don't know all the flavors in the grime that they done let
me tell you. And listen, to anybody who watched this show that knows about Moons, in order to be an employee, you have to have had jail time. Everybody,
right?
I swear to God, everybody in there been in jail.
Damn, that's some shit right there. I ain't never heard of that one.
Real tick. Heard of that one. So, it's kind of similar to what's the breakfast spot you and Auntie be going to when you come home? I forgot the name.
What, Looms?
Looms. It's like in that type of situation. Well, food is the same.
Well,
really good.
Looms is good, but like the thing with Looms though, like I don't know if they got like ex-felons working there. I just know the police be up in that bitch heavy.
Yes.
They be in that fact, boy heavy.
Don't be mad if tomorrow I post some Looms on my feed.
Hey, it's not going to be too much longer before I get back to the crib, you know, for the holidays, man. So some Looms will be on the menu for your boy. But, let me introduce the show, man. We've been on here with the little food banter and shit. You can...
Hey, just so y'all know, Span is not used to somebody else cutting his ass in with the effects. But go ahead, bro, you know. We got control, dude.
You can find the Beer and Chicken Podcast on iTunes.
Oh, Nighthawk. You know who the Nighthawk is?
It's the voice. You can find the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man, on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podomatic. No, we not on fucking Podomatic. I ain't been on Podomatic in forever. This show ain't never been on Podomatic. But you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. You can find us on CastBox. You can leave us comments there. You can rate the show on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. 5-star reviews, preferably. We actually do have a 5-star review that's actually been sitting here for a while, and I didn't realize that we had it. So let me...
Word!
So we got a 5-star review. I'm going to read that here in a second. But, hit us up with the 5-star reviews. The 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show, man. Real talk. We really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. Doesn't cost you a dime. Just a couple minutes of your time to let everybody know why you fucking with us over here, right? But you can go ahead and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Also, if you're listening to this show via CastBox, you can leave us comments on CastBox, and then we'll read those comments here live on the show and respond to you here on the show as well, right? Then you can hit us on the hotline. Area code 313 888-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave us those voicemail messages. And, of course, the voicemail messages will get replayed here on the show, and we'll respond to those. And if you're watching us live here on Crowdcast, you can call into the show live and chop it up with us and talk shit with us while we're talking shit about all the sports stuff, right? So go ahead and do us that favor.
And if you say some dumb shit, we're going to talk shit about you.
Well, yeah, but we talk dumb. We talk about each other when somebody says some dumb shit. So, I mean, it's not as if we're singling you out. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like everybody can get it. You know, it's equal opportunity when it comes to that. So, yeah, man, go ahead and hit us up at that hotline, area code 313-288-0485. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. And you can follow the homeboy Cliff where?
DJ Neff Music. Sons of bitches.
This nigga here. Good God. Good God. Also, man, hit us up on the email. Now, I just found out something because I've been doing some work on the website. That the Beer and Chicken Podcast domain right now is down. So for what I need you guys to do is if you have any feedback to send it to feedback@thespanreport.com, and then we'll read those here live on the show. Just make sure that you tag it that it's on for the Beer and Chicken Podcast, and then I'll have that read here live on the show. But the going forward for right now, the email to the show is feedback@thespanreport.com, and just tag your email Beer and Chicken or BNC Pod or something. Let me know what that is, you know, geared towards this show, and then we'll read it here live on the show or respond to you here live on the show. But also, like I said, I've been doing some work on the website. The website looking good. Still got some work that needs to be done. But you can go to our website. You can go there, leave us comments on our podcast. You can vote in the polls when we put one up. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And of course, we appreciate every dime over here at the Span Report Podcast Network. And you can go there to our store and get yourself some merch, man. I've been working on some new designs for some shirts and some t-shirt, you know, some t-shirts and hoodies and whatnot. I got some new heat coming, man. I got it coming. I'm gonna put like all five of these new designs up real soon. So be on the lookout for that. Get yourself some, you know, some nice merch. It's another way to kind of help support and keep this ball rolling over here, man. Real talk. But it's time for us to get into the show, man. And of course, because it's football season, we are doing our first inaugural fantasy football league here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. We got some games going on. And, we got a surprise going on, man. Your man Cliff is actually beating the brakes off my ass right now. Cliff beating me, man. Now, we've been talking on this show about how terrible a fantasy football player Cliff has been. And I've been on this show trying to coach him on the show. Like, man, you got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this. And I'll be goddamn if the shit ain't bite me in my own ass this week. Some bullshit, bro. This nigga is 1-9. He about to get a second win off me. Some bullshit, man.
Yo, when I saw the score earlier, right?
A fucking perfect storm of bullshittery, bro.
When I saw the so we got to fill everybody in. Let me go through the scores right quick, and then we'll touch base on our game.
Yeah, go through the scores, man.
Yeah, so real quick. All right. Oh, man, that's funny. You just made me laugh hard as hell, man. That is funny. That's funny as hell. You said, I'll be damned. All right, let me go through these scores, man.
I just knew I had an easy one this week, man. I ain't gonna even lie, bro.
Kiss my ass, man.
I did, though.
All
right,
take it out.
I did. Right. I'm not even disrespectful. I'm looking at a nigga that's 1-9. I'm like, oh, I got this.
and somebody that does not know how to really do it. And, all right, so check it out. Right now, Team Tate is playing the Miami Swipers. Team Tate is up 101-91, and right now, both of them still have one player apiece to play.
Oh, man.
The app is stating that it's going to be a 2-point difference once it's all said and done, so that's going to be interesting. Harvin's Hitman is playing the Bad News Bears. Bad News Bears are winning 93-63, Bad News Bears. No, I'm sorry. Harvin's Hitman is projected to lose. So, and they still have one more play to play.
Yeah.
Panic of the Nabisco is playing T. Guthrie. Nabisco's beating the brakes.
Stephanie is beating this nigga like a disrespectful stepdaddy, dog. Like, it ain't even fair. Damn, Goose.
They damn near up 60.
Yeah.
119 to 54.
Yeah, there's no way he gonna come back on that one.
Nah. And yeah. he actually still has one player to play.
Yeah.
Godzilla Dogs are playing team name to be determined. The Dogs are losing to team name 85 to 114.
So the dogs, that's your aunt, right?
Yeah.
She started out real hot, man.
She was undefeated for the first five games. She lost five straight. She started out
real hot. Now she cratering like a motherfucker right now, man. Cratering. Is she paying attention?
Yeah, because she texts me like every, at least, well, she texts me every other week, but yeah.
I saw a couple times where I was like, yo, man, she pulling the cliff move. Like, she ain't made no damn adjustments at all. I'm looking at an open spot on that squad right now that she could have filled in, and like, nope, she gonna lose that one.
Well, of course, I was not anticipating today's matchup, personally.
Neither was I, nigga. Neither was I.
And what I did this morning, I went in to my bench. I swapped some players. I just kind of took, like, your advice, like you said. Mm-hmm. And right now, it's 111 to 56. You still have Allen with the
Keenan Allen for the Chargers.
Yeah, for the Chargers. And other than that, that's everybody's played. On my team, Watkins is my my flex player, and he plays tomorrow. So he's definitely already – they got him to put up 12 points, so I'm with that. But we'll see what's good, man. Hey, I wasn't going to say nothing before we got on the show.
I wasn't going to let you – like, see, here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. I knew when I saw this score, I'm like, man, I'm gonna have to go ahead and confront this head on, man. Because I talk too much shit, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, I talk too much shit. I'm like, I'm gonna go ahead and confront this head on. I'm getting my ass whooped by the motherfucker I least expected to get my ass whooped by. You know what I'm saying? It's like one of those, like when a big nigga is like bullying a little nigga, but the little nigga got a whole lot of heart and stuff his ass. He ain't see it coming. That's kind of how I'm feeling right now. I'm feeling like the big nigga that got stuffed by a little nigga. You know what I'm saying? It happens, well, man. You know, even Michael Jordan shot 5 for 32 one time, man. You know, sometimes players fuck up, and your man Span out here fucked up real big time. But not only that, man. Real talk, Deshaun Watson, fuck you, man. Fuck you, man. 4 funky ass points, bro. 4 points.
That's crazy.
Jesus Christ. He been one of my most steady performers this season. And so, like, yeah, I was real shocked to see that this nigga only put up 4 points, and I had Kyler Murray sitting on the bench, putting up a smooth 18, I believe it was. Yeah, no. Kyler Murray got 20. He put up 26.7 points. 26.7, and I got fucking Deshaun Watson ass starting, and he only gave me 4 funky ass points. Man, that's some bullshit here, man.
Hey, look at Tate. He just said he in the lead. You are in the lead, and actually you're tied with team name to be determined.
Tate is actually the number one team in the league right now.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He's crushing it this year.
Yeah, that's what's up.
I'm like borderline playoffs. I'm in and out every motherfucking week, man. This ain't right.
Yeah, well, you suck today. Man, so that's all that matters.
Man, fuck you, nigga. Man, we got that out the way. But let me read this this 5-star review that we got, because like I said, it's long overdue, and I didn't realize that we had it. But he said, "Pass up that pinky ring."
Oh yes, pass that.
So here's the deal though. You don't want that ring because that ring got my name on it. You know what I'm saying? It say Span on that motherfucker. It's got the number of championships I won on that motherfucker too, man. And it's got the team name inscribed on the inside of the ring, man. You don't want that ring.
Well, guess what? What is it? Silver?
No, man.
Is it fake?
It's white gold, baby.
Oh, good. So he can melt it down and put his own shit.
Man, fuck
even better. You fuck see what I'm you. Saying?
Fuck you, man. Nobody's touching that ring. Gotta get your own.
To all the beer and chicken, you know, listeners and people watching live, it just means that the ring is fake. That's all.
Whatever, nigga.
That's all.
Let me get to this 5-star review, man. Because the homie Elson left us a 5-star review, and we really do appreciate this 5-star review, man. Because he likes the show, man. Five stars. He said, I've been listening to this show from the beginning. I love the show and look forward to hearing it every week. There is true friendship with the host, and they keep it at a real level in terms of sports and real life. Also, the jokes stay on 10. Excellent show. So do yourself a favor and get yourself a listen. Treat yourself. And thank you, Elson. And I'm going to treat myself to this young crown as I salute this five-star review, brother. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Hey, man, you know, you got to thank the folks who take that time out. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. It's a whole lot of people who listen to shit, but they don't feel passionate enough to tell you what they like about it. People, when they don't like some shit, oh, they'll let you know. You know what I'm saying? When people is upset about some shit, because I'm one of those people. When people don't like some shit, they're like, man, this is some bullshit. And then they'll get on social media and they'll tell everybody, man, T-Mobile on some bullshit, man. My bill been fucked up for the last 5 months. You know, and then people like, well, why don't you just leave, man? Like, nah, man, it's the principle of this shit. They need to know.
And I'ma still pay.
Right. You know, are you trying to shame them into like giving you some credits or something? You know what I'm saying? And that's worked a couple times, man. That shit worked. And it's awesome. So here's the other thing. It's also why, like, if you start complaining online, like on a public forum, like Facebook or Twitter, the first thing those people do is like, hey, so you mind hitting us up in the DMs, though? Like, they try to take you off. They try to take you out of the public realm, man. They're like, yo, hit us up in the DMs. I'm like, man, I got to be following y'all, and y'all got to be following me for the DMs. You know what I'm saying?
That's funny.
It's funny, man. It's funny.
That's funny as hell.
But we got some news, man. We got some basketball news to kind of get into, man. So check this out. Didn't really see this coming, but Carmelo Anthony got another opportunity in the NBA, and he just signed with the Portland Trail Blazers. What? Yeah, man. The Portland Trail Blazers got them a gunner. Another one. They already had one. They already had one, but they went and got them another gunner. So let me read this story here, man. It says, this comes out of ESPN, Adrian Wojnarowski. It says, Carmelo Anthony, who has been out of the NBA for over a year, will sign a non-guaranteed deal with the Portland Trail Blazers. The Blazers have tried at different times in the past to add Anthony and make an attempt to acquire him when he was still with the Knicks. Blazers president of operations, Neil O'Shea, said, and Anthony's agent Leon Rose of CAA Sports had stayed in contact on Anthony since the preseason, sources said. Conversations picked up over the past 2 days, and O'Shea and coach Terry Stotts talked directly with Anthony on Thursday before reaching an agreement. Portland is lagging toward the bottom of the Western Conference standings with a 4-8 record, having lost its past two games. Anthony, 35, will join the Blazers on their upcoming 6-game road trip, which starts Saturday against San Antonio, sources said. Power forward was a position where the Blazers were most vulnerable, and a shoulder injury to Zach Collins only amplified the void there. Anthony returns to fill that need. He could fit in well with the Trailblazers, who have struggled to get production from their forwards this season. They ranked 27th in points per game, tied for 28th in assists per game, and last in field goal percentage. Portland star Damian Lillard said in September that the team had its sights set on the NBA title, and that's something Anthony has yet to achieve. He is one of 17 players in NBA history with 25,000 points and 6,500 rebounds. Only four have not won an NBA title: Karl Malone, Elvin Hayes, Dominique Wilkins, and Carmelo. So, Cliff, what you feel about, how you feeling about this Carmelo to the Blazers news?
It don't make no damn difference because the Lakers going to win the championship. But I'm happy for Carmelo. He probably can still hoop. He ain't playing no defense. But if he actually comes out and plays some defense, I would love to watch him.
It's too late for that.
Yeah, so it's just bringing him back because he probably still has a lot of, you know, a little bit of athleticism left in him. But how much of that is going to make a difference, you know, with those 35-year-old knees? And not to say that that's old, but in his position probably is. I don't know, man. I want to see him succeed because I've always liked Carmelo. I've always said that he was on the wrong team. You know, that kind of makes a big difference, especially with somebody who can shoot and, you know, play ball like Carmelo. But how effective is he going to be right now? I'm just not giving them that much effectiveness because the league is much younger now, and these dudes are hooping. They running. And I don't know if Carmelo going to keep up with them.
Yeah, you know? I think Carmelo, one, I've never known that Carmelo to be a power forward, which is what I think they said they were like kind of asking him to do. Now, I do know that like because of the way the game has changed, like power forward doesn't necessarily have the same level, you know, the same sort of doesn't necessarily involve the same level of physicality that it used to be back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Like you see a lot of the power forwards or guys that would be traditionally power forwards out on like the perimeter quite a bit. You know, they may set picks, you know, they may have like the pick and pop thing going on, not necessarily back to the basket, you know, on the block, give me the ball. I'm about to post this dude up, you know, and either the fadeaway jump shot or taking it to the rack or whatever else. Carmelo Anthony, if for no other reason, Carmelo Anthony, like he could put the ball in the hoop. Like he can definitely put the ball in the hoop. I don't know if he's no. I'm just saying, like he's an efficient. Like he's known to score, not known for doing much else.
True.
And it's gonna be interesting to see how you know he coincides. You know he coincides with Damian Lillard. Of course, Damian Lillard is gonna have more control over you know who gets the ball and when. You know, being him being the guard and having the ball in his hands. Carmelo Anthony is gonna be dependent upon somebody like a Damian Lillard to get him the ball in the spots that he wants it. Damian Lillard said he's a Carmelo Anthony fan. The thing is, it's a lot different, like playing with a guy, knowing where, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like playing with a guy, knowing where a guy likes the ball, knowing how a guy likes to get into his rhythm and everything else is a whole lot different than just saying, yo, I'm a fan of this guy. I think it would be a good idea to bring him over to the squad. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. The other thing I'm wondering about is, like, damn it, how desperate were the Blazers really to go out there and get him? You know, it's early in the season. They're 4-8. It's really early in the season, and I'm starting to wonder, like, are they panicking already to where they feel like, yo, we got to do something? Otherwise, we're going to fall way too far behind in the season. And going forward, especially when you start talking about playoff contention, are they worrying about already in November? Are they worrying about their seeding? Are they worrying about like whether or not they would be able to secure home court advantage in the playoffs? Like, I'm wondering if they're worrying about that right now and feel like in order for us to like even have a shot at it, maybe we need to take this shot in the dark and go get somebody like a Carmelo Anthony to kind of shore our shit up. Because we don't have that much confidence in the guys that he's kind of coming in for.
Right.
We don't have enough confidence by the time these guys get back, whether or not they're going to be as effective as we need them to be in order for us to be in a position we want to be in order to win a chip.
I'm going to start here. As long as Damian Lillard, you know, if he stops making music, I think they'll be successful. Let's start there. If he stops making these like tracks trying to battle against Shaq, who is, you know, a clown on the mic too, but stop making music and focus on that fucking jump shot or something.
Man, I did not see that one coming.
I mean, honestly, you kind of hit all the points on the head. I definitely believe that Carmelo can be of help. Right. But as long as he understands he's not going to be that same dude that he was back in 2007, you're a different player and he has to adjust to how the league is playing now. Even though he's only been out the league a year, it's some new guys, man. These power forward and some of these power forwards who are bigger than him, longer than him, he has to adjust to that. If you ask, not to say that it wasn't the same in 2017, you see what I'm saying? But I think that, you know, his age and his lackadaisical ways caught up to him, and I think that he had to kind of check himself, maybe in some shape, form, and fashion that we don't know about. But if Portland is looking for somebody to shoot the ball, you know, they already had a couple players who can do
that. They do, and CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard. Right. And I didn't know they had Pau Gasol on the team too. Now I know Pau Gasol, he's got some miles, but Pau Gasol, he's old, bro. I mean, didn't he come in with like Kobe? I think he came in in the 96 draft, man. Like, Pau Gasol is kind of like ancient in today's game now. So, I mean, his brother right now is a much better player than he is.
Yeah.
I'll say that. So,
Well, Paul got his ring. So,
Rings. Yeah. But here's the other part about this, man. So, I'm thinking, like, because a lot of people were worried about, like, it was Carmelo Anthony being blackballed out of the league. And I don't know if it was necessarily Carmelo being blackballed. It's just like, yo, the game has kind of changed up. And there may not necessarily be a spot where Carmelo, or there wasn't really a spot where Carmelo could be, or no one felt as though they had a spot where Carmelo could be as effective in the ways in which the game is being played today. I think that led to Carmelo not being in the league more than anything. But also the fact that this motherfucker never played D. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got this guy who you give him the ball and it's like a black hole. Like, he gonna dribble the motherfucker air out that bitch and it's going up. You know what I'm saying? Like, and
you know what it was?
A lot of these offenses have been like predicated on ball movement. You don't have a whole lot of ball movement with Carmelo Anthony on your team. So it's gonna be interesting to see how he kind of, you know, slides in between getting his shots between CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard being on that squad. And then you got Carmelo. I don't know. It's kind of how it was when he was in Houston, when he was dealing with James Harden and mm-hmm. Chris Paul. The concern people had then was, is there going to be enough balls in the gym for them all to get the shots that they want to be satisfied? And we saw early on, no, it wasn't. So you had something to say, though.
There's a new Carmelo in town. It's only one dude in the league who puts up 40 and don't play D. So we know who that is.
Harden?
Of course. He got replaced. There's a new horse, you know what I mean? And it's just that simple. You know, everybody wanted to see Harden, and you know, Carmelo was that person who was flashy, dribbling, doing all the moves, and you know, and he got old. So, you know, I like Carmelo. I really do. I really like Carmelo. I just know for a fact he's not the same player. So I'm lowering my expectations as far as what he's going to be able to do on the court. Yeah. And honestly, I'm just going to be happy to see him out there. To me, I think him getting the opportunity with the Portland Trail Blazers is a big deal, because if he shows just a little bit of something, somebody else in the league will pick him up. Mm. You know, when Karl Malone was at the end of his career, he didn't play a whole season for like 2 years. You know what I'm saying? And I think Carmelo definitely has a little bit more left in him than Carl did when he was done. But that's a whole other conversation. But I really want to see Carmelo. I honestly thought that LeBron, you know, my homeboy, was going to pick up Carmelo. It kind of made sense, you know. And even if Carmelo went someplace like with CP3, you know, I don't know. But I've always had my arguments about Carmelo not being on the right team with the right people, creating that chemistry and be able to ball out. I mean, his playoff career just honestly sucks.
Well, I think to some degree, though, you got to kind of blame Carmelo for some of those decisions, because
no doubt.
It was Carmelo Anthony who ultimately forced his way over to the New York Knicks. Like, he did that.
Yeah.
And he also could have left the New York Knicks earlier and decided to stay. Like, so like, for all intents and purposes, man, like, I think when you start talking about Carmelo's playoff, you know, chances and having the right team around him and everything else, he's got to take some of the blame in that, because some of those decisions, maybe they were financial decisions that he was making, but ultimately, if your goal was to win a championship, yeah, staying in New York in New York was the worst motherfucking thing for you to do. So, yeah, man. Carmelo Real. Anthony, back in the league. Non-guaranteed contract, but we're going to see what's going to happen with him. Real talk. Another story, man, here in the news. It was a fight, man.
I got you on that. I got you.
You got me.
I got you.
Go ahead and lead off with that then.
To talk about this, we have to play the appropriate music. So, in other news now, I got a good article that I just saw today. And I don't know about you. Do you want to show the fight real quick? Or did you want to? Or if not, it's all good. Because I was going to. Okay, while you're pulling up. I'm going to just skip a little forward. There are a lot of people out here who are arguing the ruling on the suspensions that should have been handed out and the one that was handed out, right? And first of all, before I even talk about this, everybody was wrong in the first place. So to, you know, sit here and say somebody wasn't, that's not the case. Everybody was wrong. I'm going to start reading this article and just cut in, span, whatever you find that video. This says sources suspension of appeal rulings from Steelers Brown brawl expected to be by Wednesday. So there. So join me.
Browns.
You got it.
Yeah, I think so. Let me go ahead and pull the screen share up so you can watch every, you know, watch with everybody.
Okay. I'll let that roll while before I read this, so then we can have a good segue.
All right. All right. So here we go. I believe this is the video here.
Let's see. Is it the end of the game?
Yeah. Let me maximize this here, so. Here we go.
Versus Steelers. Browns are up big in the fourth quarter, and Rudolph and the Steelers are just trying to have some fun before it ends. Ogunjobi with the sack and the bowling ball there. Loss of 10 yards. The very next play is going to be another really easy sack. This one's brought to you by CoverageGear.com. They got some hats. Check them out.
So oh my now God. You're two Come
sacks
on, man.
In a row. Jesus All you want to do is not get sacked, and bam, shovel pass. Can't sack me now, fuckers. He's off to the races to get some yards. But Myles Garrett decides to sack him and throw him down. He's like, dude, I did the shovel pass. I'm going to take your helmet off now, you bitch. I did the shovel pass.
Yo.
Can't tackle him. And then 70.
Hold up.
This is fantastic.
Was not expecting this. Shout out to John. Shout out to John Boy.
I watched. Hey, I follow him on the gram. I didn't know that was him.
Yeah, was not expecting this, but okay.
One, the ref think they're helping, but they're actually hurting. He grabs him up by the face mask, rips the helmet off, says, "That's how you do it, dummy." And then for the part that sucks and is shitty, it's a
doink
with the helmet. Pouncey sees that perfectly, and he's going to go into attack mode here. Check out Pouncey. He just starts whipping fists. One punch misses. Two punch misses. Three punch misses, four punch misses. Now he's going to try to get some kicks in. That's going to get blocked and missed. Pouncey, I love the effort, my dude. I love the effort. The results, they kind of suck. Love the effort. And then Ogunjobi comes in for another sack, and it's like, dude, we did the shovel pass. You can't do this. You can't do this. Bitch. 71 gets in the way. He's like, dude, come on, bro. Come on. The coaches are talking like, what happened? Well, he picked his helmet off and he used it as a weapon. That's why my guys are so mad. Kitchen's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. That kind of sucks. So they tell those guys, you could probably sit these next 8 seconds out. We'll get they go get an early break, get the pads off, have some fun. We're going to go back to the action, finish out these 8 seconds. Rudolph's still in, has to be concussed, but he stays in the game. And Freddie Kitchen tells the sideline, hey, I told you, I said, don't take a player's helmet off and hit him in the face with it. I told you that. And you do it again, you're out of here. This one's brought to you by CoverageGear.com.
All right, that's enough.
All right, so, hey, first of all, great video.
Yeah.
Love the – yeah. So now that everybody's seen that, if you haven't already seen it, there you have it. So fast forward. Here is what happened with Garrett. The NFL suspended Garrett for the remainder of the season, including the playoffs, and announced he will have to meet with the commissioner's office before reinstating for 2020. Garrett ripped Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph's helmet off and clubbed him in the head with it in the final seconds over the Cleveland's victory Thursday night. The NFL also suspended Ogunjobi one game for shoving Rudolph in the back to the ground shortly after Garrett struck the Steelers quarterback with a helmet. Pouncey, who jumped up into Garrett, kicking and punching him after Rudolph had been struck, has been suspended for 3 games. Both Brooks, so right now they appealed. So Garrett appealed his suspension. Okay, and right now. They listed all these other players on Cleveland. They got suspended actually this year for like some intrusive shit. Bottom line is there's a lot of controversy on the fact that the NFL did not go after Rudolph. Okay. Mm-hmm. And once again, I'm not saying Garrett was wrong, but Rudolph actually in the video, you can clearly see that he was trying to take off Garrett's helmet. He was trying to take off his helmet. And for whatever reason, the angle was wrong. He's not strong enough, you know.
Man, I saw niggas talking about Rudolph was looking like Spider-Man in Endgame, trying to take off the Infinity Gauntlet off of Thanos and not getting that bitch off. He couldn't get it off.
I didn't see that. So, okay,
this nigga, man.
This is about sports. Okay, make another fucking podcast about movies. Okay?
Damn, man.
swear. This nigga. So back to what I was saying.
This nigga didn't see Endgame, bro. What's wrong with him, y'all? What's
wrong? I don't go to the show. But back to what I was saying.
Hey man, the audience ain't really feeling you talking about the movies like that, bro.
I told you, dog. I got some stuff waiting for you on the effects side, but but no. Rudolph tried to take this dude's helmet off, everybody. You seen it, and he didn't get suspended. He didn't get a slap on the hand, nothing. And that's my argument, and I feel like that's bogus. Garrett definitely took it to the next step by using the helmet as a weapon. He could have split his head dead open if he'd have had the right angle. But and everybody's talking about Garrett's character and how he's such a nice guy. And Garrett says, you know, I was out of line. I saw red and I lost my, you know. And everybody's not perfect. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, you can't just focus on the what happened at the end. You got to see who initiated that shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like everybody is actually on the right track of not being on the NFL side for not going after Rudolph and then throwing the book at Garrett. So what you got, man?
Well, I watched this, man. I really just kind of watched how people were talking about it. One other thing, too. All you boycott motherfuckers, y'all some lying sacks of shit. Cause I seen a whole bunch of NFL boycott motherfuckers on my timeline talking about this goddamn fight. Like, nigga, if y'all wasn't watching the NFL nothing, you wouldn't know shit about this fight. You'd be turning the channel when the ESPN started talking about this shit. I don't want to hear nothing about no boycotts no more. Y'all some lying motherfuckers, okay? Y'all lying. Y'all lying. I'm telling you, it's a whole bunch of lying motherfuckers out here talking about, I ain't watching shit NFL, nigga. I ain't watching shit NFL. Then you on here talking about the fight, though. Like, nigga, how you know about that? You ain't even supposed to be watching. Lying motherfuckers. So, yeah, you got that going on.
Is this about the people who lied, or is this about Garrett and Rudolph fighting? Which one is it, bro?
It's about both. It's about both. It's about both. Yeah.
That is hilarious. You've been wanting to get that off for real.
I got that off yesterday, too. You know what I'm saying? I got that off yesterday. But, you know, for the people that watch with the sports shit, you know, we got this is where it's at more apropos. But, so you got that going on. The other thing about it, man, as much as people are like, yo, man, Mason Rudolph should have gotten some level of suspension, I do believe he should have gotten maybe a game. Maybe a game. Because ultimately, if you look at what he was actually able to accomplish, not very much. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't actually able to accomplish a whole lot. He tried to get a nigga's helmet up off of him. I give him the game for kicking my man in the groin. I give him the game for that. Because he did kick my man in the groin while he was trying to get the helmet off and everything. I give him the game for that. But
and that was an accident.
No, of course it wasn't an accident because, like, they were, again, they were both in the heat of the whole thing. He got tackled. He felt like, you know, it was like, yo, I don't even have the ball no more. You doing too much. You know what I'm saying? He's upset. He sees red. Yeah, I believe he should have got a game at least for what he did to Myles Garrett. Now, getting to Myles Garrett. Yeah, you see that kind of shit in video games, B. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, like that's the kind of games like XFL, like a video game or something where you see a nigga. As a matter of fact, I saw a clip of a video game. Somebody was taking like they was tackling somebody from behind, and they ripped the man's helmet off and they hit him in the head with the fucking helmet on the video game. On the video game. I can't think of the name of the game right now. It wasn't an NFL game, but I saw that. It was a clip. Maybe somebody like just came up with some shit because you know motherfuckers are real good with the Photoshop and everything nowadays.
All day.
Yeah, man. I'm just saying. Like, I feel like as much as people are talking about, yeah, you know, Myles Garrett shouldn't have gotten as much as he got. I think to a large degree, man, and this is just me speaking like truthfully and honestly, I think people got agendas and they sticking to their agendas. Facts. And whether the truth has anything to do with their agenda, not even that. The truth ain't got to have shit to do with their agenda. So long as the motherfucking agenda is the agenda, they gonna ride with that. If the truth don't even fit it, they still riding with the agenda.
Facts.
And like, I've been kind of taking a step back and just kind of observing a lot more lately, and just and not being so much in the so much in the muck and in the thick of it, like in the arguments and stuff. Just kind of taking a step back and just watching how people talk about these things and just observing and mm-hmm. noticing, like, yo, man, like, that ain't what happened, and that ain't what happened, and but you know, but but people are so in, you know, they so ready to be, you know,
on the side,
you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. it's like, mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what, man, a lot of this is just people, like, you know, you could look at what happened with Rudolph, and you could look at what happened with Myles Garrett, like the severity of what happened, what they did on the field, vastly different. And so, although I think that Myles Garrett got damn near what he, I don't know if he should be out indefinitely.
Yeah.
I don't think he should be out indefinitely.
Yeah.
But I do think that Mason Rudolph should have gotten at least a game suspension. But you know, the way in which people are talking about this is though Myles Garrett, I've seen folks say, like, well, he was justified in what he did because such and such kicked him in the nuts. And I don't know. I just don't know. So I'm gonna just say this. I feel like Myles Garrett should probably get maybe a six game suspension. We've seen guys get like 4-game, 8-game suspensions for like domestic violence and shit like that, not even pertaining to anything on the field. I feel like Myles Garrett should probably get 6 games. I feel like Mason Rudolph should probably get a game for what he did in that particular instance. But the way that people are talking about this, man, a lot of it, like I'm saying, this is going to be a theme later on in the show. A lot of this is about agendas, and whether or not your agenda lines up with the truth or not. A lot of times, man, people don't give a damn about whether or not the agendas line up with the truth. The agenda is the agenda, and that's what they're riding with.
Yeah. And shout out to Stacy. This is he told me to play this for you, bro. You know, he said you sexy. He said you sexy. Shout out to Stacy. What up, boy?
My it's man, Stacy. Stacy, you know? In Brooklyn. My man, Stacy.
So we make it. You know, this is a special shout out from the homeboy Stacy. Man was on the show. You know, maybe about 4 months ago.
We gotta have Stacy back on, man.
Gotta get you, bro. And for situations just like this, you know, mm-hmm. we could all come together and sing a song for your boy Span.
All right, you can turn that shit off, man.
Don't be trying to straw boss because the joke is on you.
You can turn that shit off, man. And just as right now, man, just
delete all that shit. Delete all that shit. Stop playing with you, Peggy.
I couldn't understand that yet.
God damn, man. Oh, man. So I guess that's what... Have we exhausted Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph?
I think we're good. I say what I got to say.
And I say what I had to say. So let's move on.
Let's move on,
man. Because we're going to get
to the next good stuff.
We're going to get to what people really want to like hear us talk about tonight. Because this is what's on everybody's in the sports world's mind right now. It's this Colin Kaepernick shit, man. And the NFL and his workout, or the workout that wasn't, and the workout that was. Who influenced who and what, when, where, why, and how, all of the shits, man. We're going to try to cover as much of this as we possibly can. Because, like, I got a couple different articles, man. It's a few different articles, you know, surrounding what's going on with this particular thing. I'm going to ask you a question, though, first, Cliff. When you first heard about Colin Kaepernick getting a workout with the NFL, who did you hear from first? Like, what source did you hear from first?
What source? Yeah. So what is today's Sunday? I'm going to say, oh boy. Honestly, it was on my phone. I put it like this. The way I get my news on all platforms is from my phone. CNN every morning, ESPN every morning, and the first thing I saw, maybe it was Wednesday, I can't remember where the information came from, but it said that Colin was going to get a workout by some teams, and they didn't even go into detail what teams those were at the time. I didn't even pay that much attention. To tell you the truth, when I saw it, I just waved it off. I was like, they've been saying he's going to get, you know, an opportunity last year. So that's where I was.
Okay. Hold on, because I got this video.
It's back in the news.
It's about to kick off right now. Let me pull this up so you guys can watch this. I saw this Wednesday morning. This is like, I saw this probably about 6 o'clock in the morning, Wednesday morning. This is one of the first things I saw when I was, you know, getting ready for work and everything. Excuse me. So let me pull this video up so you guys can watch right along with us. But this is how I found out that Colin Kaepernick was getting an opportunity to come back to the NFL, or he was going to get a workout with the NFL. And as they were reporting this, they were saying that all 32 NFL teams would be given an opportunity to watch Colin Kaepernick work out to see if they would be able to, you know, go forward in the process to offer this dude possibly a position with their team. Do I got it? What did I do with it? Here we go. So let me maximize that and check it out.
He could make, this is very exciting, Gail. He could make a comeback on the football field after his controversial protest during the national anthem. Now, according to a memo obtained by ESPN, the NFL informed all 32 teams yesterday that the league will hold a private workout on Saturday in Atlanta for the free agent quarterback. It will reportedly include an interview. Last night, Kaepernick tweeted, in part, "I've been in shape and ready for this for 3 years. Can't wait to see the head coaches and GMs on Saturday." The 32-year-old has not played in an NFL game in nearly 3 years. Of course, he gained national prominence for kneeling during the national anthem ahead of games as a way to protest police brutality and racial inequality.
Yeah, I always thought it was unfortunate that he was labeled as somebody who was unpatriotic because he was never protesting the country.
That's right.
He was protesting, as you said, the civil rights and injustice in this country.
There are a lot of questions about holding this on a Saturday when, of course, coaches and the teams are getting ready for games. So isn't that a little inconvenient for them?
Yeah, a lot of questions there.
But as long as people get to see him play.
Yeah. As long as someone shows up.
The coaches and the scouts GM show up.
Yeah.
The scouts.
As long as the scouts show up and they get a chance to see him play. I hope it doesn't get bogged down in that, because to me it's still an incredible opportunity. He said that he's wanted it all these years. And now show what you can do.
And he says he's ready.
He says he's ready.
He's been practicing every single day.
Apparently it didn't get much warning, so hopefully.
Yeah, that's kind of odd.
He threw for 16 TDs back in 2016 last time.
There's been no question that he's at the level of the NFL. He can play.
He's very good.
All right, now.
RV in front.
Okay. I don't think there's ever been a question as to whether or not Colin Kaepernick is NFL ready. Every time a quarterback goes down in the NFL, the first thing folks are saying is like, yo, man, they need to go ahead and call Kaepernick. Anytime anybody goes down, that's one of the first things you hear from folks, is that somebody need to call Kaepernick. Kaepernick is out there. Kaepernick needs a job. And, you know, Kaepernick has been, you know, going about the business of staying in shape. He's doing his workouts. He said he was ready. He tweeted that morning, "I'm ready for this opportunity. Can't wait to see them on Saturday." Right? Can't wait to see the NFL, the coaches, the GMs. I can't wait to do this on Saturday. Colin Kaepernick knew this was happening on the Saturday. Now, they kind of alluded to this in this video, where they were like, "Yo, it's kind of an odd day to, you know, for them to have it, because, you know, NFL teams are getting ready for the games on Sundays. You know, typically Mondays is kind of a day off if they're not playing on Monday Night Football. And usually, like, coaches really get out on a Tuesday. So why aren't they having this on a Tuesday?" That, I don't know why. Not going to try to speculate as to why. All I know is they said it was a Saturday. Colin Kaepernick's team was aware that it was going to be happening on a Saturday. Colin Kaepernick said that he was ready and he knew it was going to be on a Saturday. Colin Kaepernick tweeted this out. Now, the other part about this for me is that for the longest time, after this summer, I've grown kind of weary about listening to what Colin Kaepernick's team is saying.
Okay.
I've grown very tired of listening to people around Colin Kaepernick say, sources around Colin Kaepernick says, as if this nigga doesn't have a mouth of his own. And I've been on some like, yo, I just kind of want to hear from Colin at this particular point. And this is going on like around, earlier in the summer. Like, as a matter of fact, it came to a head when Jay-Z when Jay-Z signed, when Jay-Z became a partner with the NFL for the entertainment aspect of the league, you know, picking the Super Bowl, performers, that, you know, music and all this other stuff. And when Jay-Z entered the fray, a lot of people were looking at it as if Jay-Z was usurping Colin Kaepernick on the NFL front when it came to social justice with it, you know, and using the NFL as an apparatus to do that. And so my thing was, people was like, people around Colin Kaepernick say, they don't like the fact that Jay-Z is doing this. I'm like, well, shit, why y'all keep telling me about what everybody around Colin Kaepernick is saying? What about what the fuck he's saying? Right? No, I'm just, because at a certain point, I'm just like, yo, man, this man got a mouth. This man said he was protesting this for, police brutality and everything else. He can speak for his fucking self. I'm tired of hearing about his team saying this, that, and the other. Fuck his team. I want to hear about what he's saying, right? So, Colin Kaepernick said he was ready Saturday. He was going to be ready Saturday to go ahead and perform. And as I'm hearing it on his workout, Colin Kaepernick was looking damn good at his workout. The only difference was Colin Kaepernick didn't do his workout where the fuck he was supposed to been doing the workout at. So now this becomes a thing of, well, there's some stipulations going on, and a lot of this is about Colin Kaepernick's team saying they want this, Colin Kaepernick's team saying they want that. And I'm just more so like, here's an opportunity right now, right here in front of you. Go ahead and get. And I like to be in front of 32 teams. I know the Lions was, I was listening to this all this week. I'm like, yo, the Lions said they sending a rep. I heard the Bears were sending a representative to this. I heard the Patriots were sending representatives to this. Like, there were teams and that were going to send folks there. And here's the thing that I think a lot of folks maybe didn't necessarily understand is that I think that there's NFL teams in the league that want to sign Colin Kaepernick, but they don't want to go out on a limb to say, hey, we are thinking about going to sign this guy and we're going to bring him in for a workout. I think they wanted the cover of the NFL to be like, yo, man, the whole league going to do this. And it gives us an opportunity to take a look at this guy to see whether or not he's good or not. And if he's good, we can give him an offer, or we can bring him in for further evaluation or whatever else. But I think a lot of teams are scared to be that initial squad to go out there and say, hey, I want to bring Colin Kaepernick in. Because the minute you say you want to bring Colin Kaepernick in, you've instantly alienated half of your fucking fan base. And that's just real. You've alienated a whole lot of folks who saying, like, I don't want my team having anything to do with Colin Kaepernick, that whole shebang, right? So I think that's exactly why they decided that they were going to have an NFL-wide tryout for this guy, because they wanted to give these teams cover to not say, shit, everybody else was there too. What y'all mad at us for? We got to do what y'all want us to win football games, right? Well, we're going to go there, because if the whole league is involved, if the whole league is interested in this guy, maybe we should be too. And I think that's exactly what they were doing. They were looking for cover for teams that do want to sign Colin, for them to be able to, for them to have a chance to look at him and not have them out on the limb as a team on their own looking at Colin Kaepernick. But the whole thing about Colin Kaepernick going to have this workout, and then you start hearing about I heard something about there was a waiver that they wanted him to sign. It was like he wanted like a liability waiver for like injury or something like that, and they wanted some sort of waiver to, like, I forget exactly what the fuck that waiver was for that the NFL wanted him to sign. But to me, I looked at this and I'm like, well, damn, here's an opportunity for Colin Kaepernick to go ahead, play, or show what he's got in front of 32 NFL representatives, and it turns into Colin Kaepernick again, kind of like, you know what? Nah, I don't like the way this is going down. I'm gonna do this my own way.
And I'm trying to figure out if you have a problem with that or not.
I have a problem with. This is what I have a problem with. I have a problem.
You said like nine things. I'm trying to figure out why.
Because I'm going through the whole thing of what's been going on over the course of the week.
Okay.
But my idea is, or at least the problem that I have right now, is that here was the opportunity for you to show these NFL teams what you can do. They gave you that. This is what you've been asking for 3 years. You said you was ready. You got on Twitter. The first thing you said was, I'm going to be ready on Saturday. You was good. And then you decided at the last minute to switch up how you going to do this, because now you don't have any control over how this workout is going to go. Like they said, you couldn't have your own like film crew or some shit like that. Like you couldn't have the media available. Like he wanted this to be out in the open. He wanted this to, like, yo, I want the media to be here. I want I wanted like to broadcast this live and everything else. Like, dude, you ain't been talking to the media much at all lately. Suddenly you want the fucking media all over the place. Like for real, man, I'm like, and I've been a very vocal supporter of what Colin Kaepernick has been representing on this show. You've heard me talk about how much I'm like, yo, man, like what they doing to Colin Kaepernick is fucked up. But at a certain point, it's like, come on, bruh.
Okay.
And I'm just like, at this point, I'm just like, come on, bruh. Cause it's like, dude, it's right there. Is right there, and now we getting bogged down in these minute details of right before the shit was supposed to happen. Right before the shit was supposed to happen, now all of a sudden, like, nah, this ain't good enough for me.
Okay, you done said a lot I'm gonna touch on. I want to go back to the whole his communications from his team. Mm. Correct me if I'm wrong. When he settled with the NFL, I think they had a gag order on him.
They said he couldn't talk about the settlement.
Right. But what I'm saying is, I don't knock the way he's handled any of this. You know, if his MO was to spread, you know, the word on, you know, these kids not getting justice and the police shooting black people, whatever, 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 I wouldn't be as vocal either. I would actually want to be in the back, because even though everything you said is probably correct, but it's still so much more information that we don't know as far as to why he didn't come out. And like, you know, I never forget, I was watching CNN or one of these, you know, news platforms, and they said the same thing. Well, Colin, he don't have the balls to step out and say anything about what's going on. And they even like threw dirt on him when he didn't say anything about, you know, when some guy got killed by the police. You know, how come Colin Kaepernick's not saying nothing about that? His main thing was, yo, I'm just gonna take this knee. That's all I want to do. And anything outside of that, I don't want to touch it. I don't even want to put the energy into it. You know, so to stay behind the scenes and the thing is, nowadays it's not uncommon for these big time athletes, these guys who are right now, I mean, who went from like super duper big time athlete, like an amazing season with the 49ers, coming in, not losing the game, going to the Super Bowl. And then now you're one of the biggest political figures of the last 10 years. There's no, for what he did, it had so much impact on society culturally and in sports and politics. It went all the way to the president. I mean, we're talking about somebody who's going to be up there with the Malcolm X's and Martin Luther's, because he actually stood up and the whole nation got touched by it. Like, he's going to be in that book like that. But I still say that, and then you just said, well, you know, well, he changed it up at the end, you know, or whatever. We don't know. You said he got caught up in the details. Let me tell you something, man. Everything is about the details, bro. And when it comes down to the type of platform that he's on, the situation that he's going through, and even though he's getting the opportunity, we still lack all the information to make a real judgment call on is the fact that he changed the location last minute. Man, they only going to let us know, and you know this better than anybody else, they only going to let you know what they want you to know, bro. Mm-hmm. And for Colin, because he has had that much of an impact on society, on, you know, people, you have people in bars, like, you know, asking one another, hey, are you with colon, or you with, you know, you go knee, you know, I mean, it was that big. So for him to go the way he did, some guys would have took it all the way and, you know, probably marketed something for themselves to make money and all this extra stuff. He stayed low the whole time, man.
He's done that too, though.
Huh?
He's done that too, though. Like, you don't get that. He's so, remember earlier this year, we were talking about Kaepernick getting the he became a spokesperson for Nike. He got a Nike endorsement.
Sure.
And we talked about that. He was like, "Yo, that's a really good look for him, and it's a really good look for Nike because Nike's trying to be on the right side of history when it comes to this particular topic."
Fact.
And we talked about that, and when we talked about that, I'm like, "Yo, I'm in support of that entire thing because I thought that what Colin Kaepernick was doing was righteous, right? I supported what Colin Kaepernick was doing." Where some of this starts to kind of switch up for me, though, is that, like, at a certain point, you got to understand, like, you got to play your position and understand where you've got strengths at, right? So Colin Kaepernick, to some degree, I think, understands that to the public at large, especially, like, in the minority public at large.
Yeah.
I think to some degree, Colin Kaepernick understands that no matter what happens, that he's got a core group of folks who, no matter what decision he makes, they got his back. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
They got his back no matter what decisions he makes. So, like, it got to... No. Listen. Think about this for a second. Colin
Stacey, I'm Googling it right now. Go ahead.
Okay. Now you fucking me up, bro.
You was like, could you see the Emancipation Proclamation?
Listen, ain't about no damn Emancipation Proclamation. I'm just saying, man, like, I feel like at a certain point, I think that narratives are important, and I think Colin Kaepernick understands the importance of having narratives. And if Colin Kaepernick can keep control of the narrative, then Colin Kaepernick can come out on the other end of this not looking as bad as other people would have, given, mm-hmm. you know, given the same opportunity that he was given. And so I kind of look at it like this, man. Like, for Colin Kaepernick, I think that taking this opportunity that the NFL was, like, going to give you, was going to give you, like, a tryout or a pro day or whatever. Everybody keeps talking about, this is unprecedented. They don't ever do this for nobody else. Like, yeah, nobody else has ever been in the same position Colin Kaepernick is in. Like, we've never seen this sort of shit before, right?
Okay.
But I think for Colin Kaepernick to take this thing and then at the last minute, like, you know what? Nah, fuck this. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do my own thing over here and decide that, like, nah, this opportunity that y'all say y'all giving me, I'm going to make it about my struggle still. You know what I'm saying? Like, although y'all saying y'all going to give me this opportunity, I'm going to make this about my struggle still, because my struggle is what makes me resonate with the larger, with the public at large. A lot of people really resonate with Colin Kaepernick because they like what Colin Kaepernick stood for as a symbol, right? And so when we think about I'm losing my train of thought. I got a point in my fucking head and that bitch won't come out.
You still think about the Emancipation Proclamation?
Nah, fuck you, man. But I think Colin Kaepernick understands that he's a symbol to a lot of people. And I think he relishes that. I think he kind of relishes in the fact that, like, people are looking at him as someone, like you mentioned, a Muhammad Ali, or like the guys who were Tommy Smith and I forget the other guy's name at the Olympics. I think he kind of relishes in the fact that people look at him in that way. But at the same time, I don't think those guys were given another opportunity to perform on the platform that Colin Kaepernick was just given. And so, like, I'm kind of, like, looking at him a little sideways because I'm like, yo, bro, like, it's right there for you. It's right there right now. Like, you've been saying you ready. go out there and do it, show them you're ready, and that's it. That's it. Now, and that, now, if they don't do anything after that, then your point is made. But to like, just like, if they don't do anything after that, your point is made. But for you to go out there and just be like, well, you know what? Fuck this thing y'all got set up. I'm going to go ahead and do this other shit over here. And like, it's like, man, what are you doing? It's right there. It's right fucking there. And you said you was ready. You was happy and excited about it. You went on Twitter to announce it. This is why I said I got tired of talking about what his team was talking about. Because I'm like, yo, what the fuck is Colin saying? And Colin's saying like, yo, I can't wait to do this shit. And then suddenly we on some other shit. Nah, I don't want to do it the way that y'all said I was going to do it. Nah, fuck that. I want to do my own thing at this high school 50 miles away from where y'all was supposed to be doing the shit. And I don't have as many team representatives coming out to come take a look at me.
Well, look, man. I don't have any expectations for Kaepernick getting in the league. Okay? And I think he's a baller. And guess what? If he gets in the league, great.
Now I think about it. I said, now I think about it. It's the point that I was trying to make, the motherfucker just popped in my goddamn head.
Go ahead. Go ahead before you forget.
All right. So, God damn it.
Hey, man.
It was right there.
You got to quit drinking, man. What's wrong with you?
I
got
to quit drinking.
Well, all I was going to say was, whether if he makes it in the league or not, I'm happy at the outcome for Kaepernick, because he was able to express his stance on something that was very important, and he was effective in it. So whether or not he plays another day in the NFL, I'm still happy about the black man. And would it be nice to see him on the field? You know how I look at this? I look at just – we were just talking about Carmelo. Guess what? If he plays, great. If he doesn't, great. You know, I would love to see him on the field throwing the football. But if he doesn't play, I'm not going to, like, be upset about that. You know, it would be fantastic to see him go out there and bust him down.
Yeah.
You know,
Here's the point that I was getting ready to make. So, when Jay-Z – hold on. When Jay-Z signed on with the NFL to do his, you know, entertainment thing or whatever, folks were upset with Jay-Z because they felt like he was usurping Colin Kaepernick. And – a lot of this would like a lot of the way that people were being upset, I was trying to figure out like what exactly would it have taken for you to be okay with anybody doing anything with the NFL, right? So it became a thing of what the fuck. Hey man. Hey, Stacey and Cliff.
For those that's just listening,
Stacey and Cliff, fuck both of y'all.
For those that just listening, Stacey just said that my granddaddy started having memory issues. He ended up with early onset Alzheimer's, and he talked about spam because he couldn't remember what he was about to say. He said, "I'm worried about you, fam."
I got it, and I'm trying to make my point. But a whole lot of folks was mad at Jay-Z for signing on with the NFL. And they were talking about he was usurping Colin Kaepernick in the whole nine. And right. One of the things that I was trying to figure out was like, okay, so what was the ask, right? Like, what was it exactly that people wanted out of this whole NFL thing, right? Because Colin Kaepernick said he was kneeling for, you know, police brutality, the extrajudicial killings of black people in America, this and the other, bringing attention to that, right? And then you had people like Eric Reid taking shots at Jay-Z for getting into a deal with the NFL. Eric Reid, who was also kneeling with Colin Kaepernick when he was in San Francisco, like, and he was taking shots at the NFL, and he was taking shots at Jay-Z for getting in bed with the NFL. Like, hey, nigga, ain't you taking checks from the NFL right now? You know what I'm saying? And even right now, isn't Colin Kaepernick trying to get some more checks from the NFL right now? And so my thing was, I started really getting confused as to what the axe was, right? What was it that people really wanted out of this entire thing? Was it, are we still asking for the NFL to pay more attention and to put resources behind trying to curb, you know, police brutality and extrajudicial killing the black people? Or is it simply about Colin Kaepernick being able to get another job within the NFL? And a lot of this was folks were really just like, I ain't watching till Colin get a job again. And I'm like, okay, If that's your beef, then cool. If that's your beef, then cool. But at the same time, it's like you basically have changed what the direction of your boycott was for, because your boycott wasn't, his boycott wasn't ever about him having a job within the NFL. His boycott was about the extrajudicial killing of black people by the police. So that's where my confusion comes in. It's like, because now people are just like, well, the NFL gave an opportunity to like to try out for all these extra teams. Like I said, I feel like it's kind of cover for some teams who really do have interest in this dude. But a lot of people are just like, I kind of wonder, like, okay, so if Colin Kaepernick does, even after all this shit, if Colin Kaepernick does get an offer from an NFL team,
mm-hmm.
that still won't be enough for a whole lot of motherfuckers.
Listen, man.
It still won't be enough.
Here's the thing. You know, and I'm not knocking you, but you're trying to figure out, you know, what everybody's MO is. Because this has gone and has been destroyed by media, it's so many different opinions about what's going on and who's doing what and why this, that, and the third. It's never going to end. I guarantee you next week is going to be something totally different about what he did at the workout or why he changed, and the NFL going to come back and say this and do that. It's going to get dissolved into so many small little stories that nobody knows what the hell is going on. And for me,
it's at that point now.
I know. No, but I forget that. It was at that point 2 years ago. I'm just saying, I get what you're saying, but when it comes down to it, you know, you're going to have people saying, well, Colin had an opportunity and he blew it, you know, because he changed it last minute and all this other stuff. Man, I'm so over all of this. It's like,
I'm over it too. That's the other part about it. I'm so over this shit. Like, I'm just like, I'm like, man, I'm at a point now. I am at a point now, man, where some of you niggas got me agreeing with Jason Whitlock, and I will never forgive you motherfuckers.
Say that one more time.
I said, I am at a point now where some of you motherfuckers got me agreeing with Jason Whitlock. And I will never forgive you motherfuckers, because I can't stand that motherfucker there. I can't stand that dude. But when it comes to like this particular shit right here, I'm looking at this dude like being excited about the fact and announcing the fact that he got a workout coming in with the NFL, 32 teams being represented, and totally botching that shit, making it about, man, I want the media to be here.
Hey, show the video.
Yeah, let me pull it up.
Yeah. You know, I hear you, man, but honestly, I am not merely surprised by the turnout and, you know, the events that happened. So to me, it's like, whatever, yo, just somebody decide whether or not they're going to pick this dude up. And, you know, hell, the Bears can drop Mitch Trubisky right now and we would probably have a better outcome than, you know, if we'd kept him.
And I think he should be in the league. I just think a lot of the shit that's going on around him and his team, I think is real fucking faulty, man. I just think he got a real fucking faulty team around him. There we go. Here we go. Check this out, y'all.
Well, now to Colin Kaepernick and the media circus that has become his comeback tryout for the NFL. ABC's Kaylee Hartung has more on how it went.
Colin Kaepernick showing off his talent on his own terms. With his own camera crew rolling in front of representatives from 8 NFL teams, the media and fans, the polarizing quarterback throwing passes for nearly 40 minutes on this high school football field.
I've been ready for 3 years. I've been denied for 3 years.
This after Kaepernick called an audible Saturday afternoon, moving the location of an NFL sanctioned workout 59 miles from the Falcons practice facility, just a half hour before it was set to begin.
Our biggest thing with everything today was making sure we had transparency in what went on. We weren't getting that elsewhere, so we came out here.
His camp saying multiple disagreements with the NFL led to the sudden change in plans. The NFL challenging that claim, saying, "We are disappointed that Colin did not appear for his workout. He informed us of that decision today along with the public."
Frankly, I think it angered the NFL, but Colin Kaepernick was not going to cooperate with a body, an entity that hadn't cooperated with him for the past 3 years when he has not been allowed back into the NFL.
His impressive throwing performance comes 3 years after he opted to take a knee during the national anthem to protest police brutality and racial inequality, and just 8 months after settling a grievance with the NFL, where he claimed owners colluded to keep him out of the league.
So we're waiting for the 32 owners, the 32 teams, Roger Goodell, all of them to stop running. Stop running from the truth, stop running from the people. We're out here, we're ready to play.
The NFL says 25 teams showed up at the Atlanta Falcons training facility for that scheduled workout. Then his plan suddenly changed. Just 8 teams made their way to this high school football field. Colin Kaepernick's agent telling us after the workout, the quarterback talked to all 8 of those staffers and told them he'd love to visit their facilities and answer any further questions they may have. Whit.
A lot of teams with injuries could use a new quarterback as well.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. The way he played it, fantastic. You know, seriously, fantastic. Okay. I don't knock him at all. Who knows what else is going on? And, you know, why at this point, I totally agree with him. Why you got to do what they want you to do?
You want the opportunity. They moving on quite well without him. He wants to get back in the league.
Let me finish what I'm saying.
Okay.
If somebody wants you, somebody want to see you, see how you doing to pick you up. Mm-hmm. They gonna make whatever arrangements to make to see you. So I like that, because guess what? All 32 was just a formality in the first place. We know that. Just like you said earlier, well, we gonna have all 32 come out. I get that. And the ones that really want to see you, they gonna drive them 59 miles to come and see you. Mm-hmm. So I don't knock none of that. And like I said, if he has another workout, private workout, media workout, footwork workout, I don't care what workout it is. At the end of the day, just get it over with. Figure out if this dude is going to get another chance. And I want to see, you know, the Patriots win the Super Bowl. You know. But at the end of the day, I just want this shit to be over. That's all.
Yeah, I want it to be over. And here, let me make myself clear. I want that dude in the NFL. I think that dude deserves an opportunity to be on an NFL roster. It's a fucking crime that dude isn't on an NFL roster, considering some of the quarterback play that we've seen this year. You know what I'm saying? But I guess my biggest beef was like how he's going about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, more than anything else, is like how he's going about it. Like, dude, here's an opportunity. Take it. Stop making it more difficult for yourself. Take this opportunity, man. Like, you're making it harder for yourself going about it this way. You know what I'm saying? Like, get in. And then talk your shit once you in there, baby. Like, do that. Because once you in, like, think about this, man. Think about this for a second. Once he gets in, like, the team that gave him an opportunity, they get him on a squad. He's a backup quarterback, or he's starting for somebody. He goes out there, he balls out. Like, dude, if he's out there producing on the field, nobody can say shit else to him. But you got to get there first. You got to get there first.
I don't see it that way.
I do.
I feel you.
You got to get there first, man. Like, you talking shit to these people at the same time while you asking them to, like, give you an opportunity. Like, I don't get that. I don't get that, dude.
I think it's dual-sided. I don't think it's just him asking for an opportunity. I think maybe some of these teams are really like, yo, if you work out, we want to see you. So, no, we interested just like you interested. I think it's both ways.
So that goes back into what I was saying before about the teams that want to sign Colin Kaepernick. I never denied that. There are teams that want to sign Colin Kaepernick. But the whole workout with the entire NFL being involved was cover for those teams that really want him. Because those teams understand that, yo, they got a fan base that are going to be upset if they just go out there unilaterally and say, yo, we want this guy to come play for us. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got those factors to deal with. And this is why the whole workout shit was even set up to begin with, to give those teams cover. We know goddamn well all 32 teams are interested in Colin Kaepernick. We know that. But the teams that are, hey, man, we need a little bit of cover if we're going to bring this motherfucker in, man. Because, like, our quarterback situation looking real shaky right now. And, you know, Colin might be able to help us out. Yeah, they might be initially upset. But once he get in and he produces and whatnot, those people that were upset, they're going to come back to the games. You know what I'm saying? Like, here in Detroit, Matthew Stafford got a fucking broke back. He ain't played the last 2 weeks. We got this bum ass motherfucker that's laying out right there right now. Kenny Golladay didn't even get a guy. He caught one pass today, man. I ain't really feeling this shit, right? Colin Kaepernick would have been good for us tonight. I think that Colin Kaepernick would have produced for the Detroit Lions. I think he would have produced. But I think those teams needed that cover, and Colin Kaepernick kind of limited a lot of the opportunity that he would have had. Like, he'd have had a whole hell of a lot more teams maybe coming his way, offering more legitimate offers if he'd have let the shit ride.
Can't even talk.
If he'd have let it ride the way he was supposed to let it ride, man. Like, I think doing all this other shit, man, saying like, yo, I wanted this and I wanted that and I want to move this here and I want, like, I think that just kind of, I don't know, man. I think it's like the way he's going about a lot of shit, man. I just kind of look at it like, all right, man, whatever. Whatever. You stunting your own shit right now at this point.
Well, guess what? It's almost over.
It's time for us to get up out of here, man. We've been talking for a long time. I've been losing my train of thought in the whole shit. I'm going to leave this crown alone.
I told you what that was at the beginning of the show. You didn't want to listen.
I'm going to leave the crown alone. But we got to wing it. We got to wing it. So tell them what you're winging it on tonight, fam.
That's not the introduction.
Oh, my bad. Hold on.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
There you go.
What am I winging it on? Talking about quarterbacks. Mine's going to be real short.
Mm.
Mitch Trubisky is really, it's a sad story here in Chicago, everybody. You know, have such great potential, especially with the defense. Got a good running back, a couple good wide receivers, good tight end. And we got a dude who actually sucks. This dude actually sucks. He actually sucks. He sucks.
The Bears gonna hit the cat.
He sucks really bad. And like nobody here wants this dude to be on the team.
They could have had Pat
nobody.
Mahomes.
Listen, I was so excited. I think it was Tuesday. They said I can't stand you, man. They said Cam Newton was interested in coming to the Bears. And
what?
Here in Chicago on the Bears AM radio station, I listen to it a lot when I'm in the car. And one of the guys said something really important. He said Cam Newton would be great fit in Chicago. Great fit. Athletic, can run, throw, whole nine, right? But the back office will not pay him.
You mean the front office? True. You keep saying back office.
Like, back office. Well, the back office. I mean, however you want to,
okay,
you know.
My bad, man. I've been noticing that.
This is my goddamn time to shine. But all that to say, we're not getting Cam Newton. We're not getting Colin Kaepernick. We got to stick with this dude, Mitch, for another. I think he's locked in for like two more years. I'm a Bears fan, man, but it's just a sad day here in Chicago. It's a sad year. It's going to be a sad another 2 years unless they give him papers. But Mitch Trubisky sucks, if I didn't say that already.
Well, all right. That's
yeah.
We just put the Bears season and just
in the arms of the angel.
You get a new song.
Hey man, that is what we see for like song, sad shit. That is a sad song. Every time I think about that song, I think about puppies that need to be adopted.
Oh god damn.
Dude, you ain't never seen the ASPCA commercial?
Yeah, nigga.
They play that song on the ASPCA commercial, man. They be like, man, come adopt these damn pets, man. They're going to die, man. You got to come get them. We're going to have to kill these motherfuckers after 10 days, man. You got to come get them. For real. That's exactly what I think about. So
tonight, the Beer and Chicken podcast has turned into the stand up and support for animals who need home.
Hey,
kittens,
man.
Dogs,
hey,
you know, birds.
We do adopted pets over here, man. You know, Keisha's is a rescue dog, man. So
your dog's name Keisha.
Dog's name's Keisha, man. Dog's name's Keisha.
Can you imagine being at home and you're on the phone with, like, you know, the gas company, and you'd be like, Keisha, go sit your ass down somewhere.
Yeah, so that happens. That happens quite often. Keisha, go sit the fuck down. Keisha, and Diva, too.
I only know one Keisha, and that's from Belly. Yeah, so
the dog we had before was also a rescue dog. His name was Tyrone.
Tyrone. I mean, Tyrone was a G.
Tyrone, you know, was the G, man. Like, I miss Tyrone, little thug ass. Tyrone.
You name your dog Keisha. Who named the dog? You or the wife?
My wife names the dogs, man.
I got jokes.
My wife names the dogs.
I got so many. I'm sorry. This is the Beard Chicken Podcast.
It's
go ahead.
It's time for me. It's time for my wing, nigga. It's time. My time to shine. No. So, my wing is actually on some baseball shit.
Woo! This is a rarity coming from the Sox fan. Go ahead. Let's see what it is.
Fuck you, nigga. Now. And this is actually, it kind of ties into this Colin Kaepernick shit too, right?
Oh, God, politics.
You goddamn right. So, the Washington Nationals won they won the World Series. You know what I'm saying? They won it in 7 games. They won. This is the first time in, like, major sports history that the road team won all the games in the championship series. Like, nobody won a home game in this whole shit. There was no such thing as a home field advantage.
Interesting.
Yeah, man. But they went to the White House, go visit with the Orange Fuhrer. And
oh my God.
They went to the White House, they visited with the Orange Fuhrer, and Kurt Suzuki got up there and he put a Make America Great Again cap on, man. Put a Make America Great Again cap on. And, you know, it's interesting, right? Because they tell players like Colin Kaepernick, tell players like Eric Reed, keep the politics out of this shit. You know what I'm saying? We don't give a damn about your politics. They just want to see football. We want to see the baseball. We want to see the basketball. Damn their politics, man. I'm going to tell y'all right now, that's a load of shit. You give a fuck about the politics when they support the politics that you support. So, all those people, they got a problem with what the fuck Colin Kaepernick kneeled for. I need y'all to shut the fuck up from here on out. If y'all cool with this dude going up to the White House rocking that fuck ass Make America Great Again hat, that's what I need. I need every last one of y'all to shut the fuck up. Okay. Talking about whether or not you're gonna keep the politics out of the sports when you got that dude rolling up there and you happy about the fact that he got that Make America Great Again hat on. It's really all about the politics that you like. That's it. That's it. Shut the fuck up. Talking about Colin Kaepernick, Eric Reed, all of them. Because they talk about the politics that don't necessarily jive with your shit. Fuck you. Because you cool with that. And if you cool with that, then you need to be cool with the other shit too. All right? Shut the fuck up. And we out this bitch, man.
That was the most intense wing it we've ever had in, like, Beer and Chicken history.
Shut the fuck up. Nigga, my shit was a hell of a lot more clear. My shit was a hell of a lot more clear than that, man. Fuck you. Shut the fuck up. Man, go ahead, DJ. Let's the fuck up out of this bitch, man.
Oh my goodness. Great show. That's all I gotta say.
What's real? The real question is, what's real? Drop us, try your best to diagnose. What's real? People all around, you got to recognize and witness.
I got soldiers that have turned out, burned out. Do I come correctly when it's my turn? No doubt. I twist the trees in the cold with one hand wiping my nose. Girls say that I'm fly because they be liking my clothes. But the clothes or the money can't make the man. When I apply my vicious grip, you can't take it, man. Face it and understand, there are no winnings for you. What I'm beginning to do is bring an ending to you and your crew. I sip a brew and at the same time drink the life out of you. I righteously come through, created in the likeness of who? G-O-D, can sell a half a line for a G. Check ballistics, you won't be taking mine from me. Skills.
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 Spit flows, rip shows, peep the recital.
Skills.
Nah, you feel it when we drop those hot beats. Stop foes, killing shit, we got those.
Skills.
It's the music that the street loves. Beat stuck is now repping this with deep love.
Skills.
Gangstar, dueling again, ruling again. Watch as we do it again. It's the true living with a youthful vengeance. And I'm a judge, laugh as your ass. Give you a crucial sentence.
And we out. We see y'all next week. Peace out.